Usually when you picture how an AI actually thinks, you probably imagine something incredibly mechanical.
Right, something very rigid.
Yeah, a rigid step-by-step process. Kind of like a hyper-fast typewriter. You type in a prompt, hit enter, and the system just clacks away in the background.
Calculating the statistical probability of the next word.
Exactly. And then the next word and the next, spitting out a sentence sequentially until it's done.
It is a fundamentally linear process, moving from left to right, choosing one discrete piece of information at a time.
And there is a certain comfort in that for us as users, I think.
Yeah.
We like to see the machinery working.
Oh, absolutely.
We are used to sequential delivery because that happens to be exactly how you and I speak to each other. We string words together in a line to form an idea.
Yeah.
But today, we are doing a deep dive into a recently published, highly theoretical source document that completely shatters that typewriter analogy.
It really does. It flips the whole concept on its head.
It's mind-bending. The document outlines a framework called manifold CCT, or conditional collapse theory. And it proposes a computational landscape where AI doesn't think by generating text word by word.
Right.
Instead, it processes information by sculpting entire massive ideas all at once. It acts much more like a digital 3D artist shaping clay.
Yeah, it represents a fundamental departure from token-based language models. I mean, the authors of this paper are mapping out a structure where the underlying mathematics of computation are entirely geometric.
Okay, let's unpack this. We are taking the AI typewriter and trading it in for an AI sculptor, using tools that look incredibly similar to what you would find in a 3D modeling program like Blender.
Which is wild to think about.
It really is. But before we get into how it actually uses those tools to, sculpt an answer, we need to talk about the clay itself.
Right, what is the material here?
Exactly. In a standard language model, the basic unit of thought is a token. It's basically a word or a fraction of a word. You feed it data, and it funnels all its vast, multi-layered processing down into a single bottleneck.
Picking the next token.
Yes,
And
exactly.
that bottleneck is, well, it's the critical limitation of current systems. If you have an incredibly complex, nuanced idea, forcing it through a token generator is like trying to shove a rich, multidimensional painting through a tiny one-dimensional pipe.
Oh, wow. That's a great way to put it.
The system has to collapse all of its parallel understanding into a single sequential choice over and over. And every time it picks a word, it cuts off other semantic possibilities.
It's like trying to build a bridge by only looking at one individual brick at a time. You can only place the next brick based on the edge of the previous one, just hoping the overall structure holds up.
Right, hoping you make it to the other side.
But this paper's manifold CCT completely bypasses that, doesn't it? Instead of sequential tokens, it represents an entire thought process as a continuous mesh manifold suspended in high-dimensional space.
Yeah. For anyone trying to visualize this mesh manifold, picture a 3D wireframe model, the kind of raw geometric grid you might see in an animation studio before a character gets its color, textures, and lighting.
Like just the raw skeleton of the shape.
Exactly. It is a massive web made entirely of vertices and edges.
But these aren't just arbitrary points making up a shape, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in this theoretical model, every single vertex represents a distinct thought or a concept in a semantic space.
Yes. And the edges, the lines connecting those points, they represent the specific semantic relationships between those thoughts.
So a line connecting two concept vertices might represent a causal relationship.
Right. Or a hierarchical link, or even an opposition. And the distance and angle of that edge carry meaning. But, and this is crucial, the paper specifies this is happening in high-dimensional space, not just three dimensions.
Which is where it gets really trippy.
Does. Standard visual metaphors break down a bit here because we are talking about spaces with hundreds or even thousands of dimensions.
Let's ground that for the listener. Because when I first read 128-dimensional space in the source, my brain immediately just tried to picture a really, really complicated 3D cube.
Yeah, which doesn't quite work.
Not at all. If 3D space just has an X, Y, and Z axis up, down, left, right, forward, backward, how does a concept exist in 128 dimensions?
The simplest way to grasp it is to stop thinking about physical directions and start thinking about attributes.
Okay, attributes.
Imagine the concept of an apple. In a semantic space, one dimension or axis might represent its color. Another dimension measures its sweetness.
Oh, I see.
Another measures its historical significance or its economic value or its structural crunchiness. If you have 128 distinct axes of meaning, the vertex representing apple sits at a very specific set of coordinates across all 128 of those conceptual sliders simultaneously.
That makes so much more sense. So the AI's thought isn't a string of text. It's this incredibly complex, multidimensional constellation of concepts, all linked together by their relationships.
Exactly.
And what really stands out in the research is that this manifold never outputs intermediate steps. The system doesn't, like, print out its work as it goes.
No, not at all. What's fascinating here is that the manifold acts as the computer's memory, the processor, and the final answer all at the exact same time. The computation itself is literally the physical shifting and bending of this entire constellation.
It's like a holographic storage medium.
Yes, perfectly said. The meaning of the structure is not found in any single point. It's encoded in the relative parallel positions of every single part acting together.
So you don't get a breadcrumb trail of tokens leading to an answer.
Right. The AI manipulates the entire conceptual landscape at once until the destination is fully formed.
Okay, so if the AI is holding this raw block of multidimensional clay, we have to look at how it actually shapes it into something meaningful.
Which is where the three steps come in.
Exactly. The source breaks this down into a very strict three-step life cycle, from raw data to the finished form. It starts with step one, initial mesh generation.
This is the raw data phase.
Right. When you give the AI a prompt or a question, the system generates a starting manifold. At this very first stage, the vertices are essentially scattered. It's just a random distribution.
The initial state is totally unformed. The concepts relevant to your prompt are present in the space somewhere, but the relationships, the edges, and relative positions are not yet organized to provide an answer.
It's like dumping all the parts of a complex Lego set onto the floor.
That's a great analogy.
Every piece you need to build the castle is sitting right there on the carpet, but right now, it's just a meaningless pile of plastic. Which brings us to step two, the DOF, or degrees of freedom, transformation loop.
Right, the actual thinking phase.
Yes. But again, it's not writing text. The AI continuously moves, rotates, and stretches all those vertices at the exact same time.
It literally bends the geometry to accumulate meaning. And because the system isn't forced to pause and translate its progress into a text token, the shape-shifting happens incredibly fluidly.
The geometric transformation is the calculation.
Exactly. It's sculpting in real time.
And it keeps molding that shape until it hits step three, which the authors call the final check, or the collapse.
The finished form.
Right. Once the geometry is perfectly optimized and the shape settles into its final form, the AI takes a snapshot. It reads the final geometry and translates that completed shape into an explicit answer that you can actually read on your screen.
And we really need to emphasize why this matters, because there is no collapse until step three. The preservation of context here is just incredible.
Because it hasn't committed to anything yet.
Precisely. In standard models, committing to a word early in a sentence restricts what the model can say next. It collapses the possibilities prematurely.
Oh, right. Because it's locked into the grammar of whatever it just typed.
Exactly. Because manifold CCT waits until the very end to collapse the data into text, the mesh preserves its full representational capacity throughout the entire computation. No information is lost in the middle of a thought process. It keeps every single nuance and alternative interpretation alive, suspended in the geometry, right up until that final snapshot.
That is amazing. So we know the AI is moving vertices around in step two, but the research maps out the specific tools the AI uses to manipulate this semantic mesh. And they are literally operations you would use in a 3D animation program.
Yeah, Blender operations used as semantic tools.
It isn't just abstract math. The system is performed for digital sculpting. Let's walk through how these physical tools actually change the meaning of a network. The first one is scaling.
Right. So in any basic 3D software, scaling an object just makes it larger or smaller.
Okay.
In the semantic network, scaling a geometry uniformly or pulling it along a specific axis semantically means amplifying or attenuating the strength of a concept.
Oh, I see. It functions like a volume dial for specific traits.
Exactly.
If the AI is working on a problem and realizes a certain concept needs to be more dominant in the final answer, it physically scales up the coordinates of those vertices,
making that concept literally larger in the semantic space.
Right. Okay, the next operation is rotation. The AI can grab the entire mesh, or just a cluster of points, and spin it around an axis. But wait, let me push back on this for a second.
Sure.
If I have a 3D model of a chair on my screen and I rotate it 90 degrees, it's still the exact same chair. It hasn't changed. How does just spinning a shape alter the meaning of the network?
Well, the object itself doesn't change, but its alignment relative to everything else in that 128-dimensional space definitely does. Rotation preserves the magnitude of the concept, but it changes the viewpoint. It allows the AI to take a complex idea and rotate it to see how its edges align with completely different concepts.
It's exploring different angles.
Exactly, finding new intersections and relationships from a new perspective without expanding it or adding uncertainty to the original concept.
That makes sense. It's like taking a strange puzzle piece and just turning it in your hand to see if the grooves suddenly line up with a different part of the board.
That's a perfect way to visualize it.
Now, what about extruding? If you've ever played around with 3D modeling, extruding is when you grab a flat face on a shape and pull it outward to create new geometry, like, you know, pulling a nose out of a flat sphere.
Right. And semantically, extruding creates new vertices along a normal direction.
Right.
This is how the AI integrates completely new information or extends a theoretical framework.
Oh, wow. So it's pulling new material in.
It is pushing the boundaries of what the mesh currently holds and literally pulling a new related concept into the structure to see if it helps solve the prompt.
So if the network is calculating and realizes it has a blind spot, it extrudes a new limb of thought to grab the missing context.
Exactly. And to refine that new context, it uses subdividing.
Right. In modeling, you take a single edge and chop it into smaller segments so you can add more intricate details to the shape.
And in the semantic space, this operation directly increases the resolution of a thought.
Awesome.
If a concept within the network is too broad or blunt to be useful for a highly specific problem, subdividing adds new vertices to existing edges. It splits that semantic edge into finer-grained components.
Okay, let's use a really simple analogy for those two tools working together. Let's say the AI is processing a prompt, and it starts with a very basic broad edge representing the concept of dogs.
Okay, simple enough.
If the AI needs to expand the scope of the problem, it might extrude that geometry, pulling out a completely new connected thought, like wolves, so it can compare them.
Right, expanding the territory.
But if it needs more detail rather than more scope, it uses the subdivide tool. It takes that single dog edge and chops it up, increasing the resolution until the mesh has specific, distinct vertices for golden retrievers and pugs and greyhounds.
That is spot on. Extruding adds scope by bringing in new territory. Subdividing adds precision by mapping the existing territory in higher detail.
And the system is applying all of these operations, scaling, rotating, extruding, subdividing, to thousands of concepts simultaneously across hundreds of dimensions.
All at the exact same time.
It's incredible. But, you know, playing with 3D shapes sounds really cool. But we have to ask how bending a digital mesh actually solves a real, complex, logical problem.
Right. What is the practical application?
Exactly. And the Force explains that the entire engine driving this process relies on a core concept from physics. Reducing entropy.
Yes. In thermodynamic physics, entropy measures disorder or chaos in a system. But in the context of manifold CCT, entropy simply means the variance or the uncertainty of the vertex positions within the mesh.
So when the vertices are scattered during step one, the variance is high.
Yes. The meaning is uncertain.
And the overarching goal of every single geometric transformation the AI performs is to reduce that variance.
Okay.
It uses the scaling and cutting tools to organize the chaos, forcing the geometry to move closer to a collapsed, highly certain state.
Exactly. And the paper gives an incredibly concrete example of how this handles complex problems that completely break normal AI. They feed the sister the liar paradox.
Oh, that's a classic. The prompt is just a sentence. This statement is false.
A total logical contradiction.
Right. It's a trap. If the statement is true, then it must be false. But if it's false, then it is actually telling the truth.
A standard logic loop.
If you feed this into a standard sequential language model, the typewriter just gets stuck. It tries to output a binary token, true or false, and it can't.
It either loops endlessly, crashes, or hallucinates total nonsense. It is forced to pick a path. But neither path works.
But with manifold CCT, the paradox enters the semantic space not as a forced binary choice, but as geometry.
Right. It initializes as a conceptual ring of vertices oscillating wildly. The entropy, the uncertainty score, is incredibly high. It sits at a variance of 0.80. The concepts of truth and falsehood are just bouncing back and forth.
It's a chaotic, vibrating mess of clay. So the AI starts applying its tools to reduce the entropy. First, it uses a scale operation. It literally contracts the ring, pulling the opposing concepts of true and false physically closer together in the semantic space.
Then it uses a rotation operation. This allows the AI to observe the periodicity of the ring from an outside angle.
So it stops trying to ride the loop and instead looks at the shape of the loop itself.
Exactly. And the most critical operation here is the loop cut.
Right. In 3D modeling, a loop cut slices a continuous ring of geometry to add new edges.
But semantically, the paper describes this as adding temporal sampling to the mesh.
Let's break down temporal sampling because that sounds like a magic phrase.
Mm.
Semantically, what is a loop cut actually doing to the paradox?
By slicing the continuous ring, the AI is injecting the dimension of time into the concept.
Oh, I see.
Instead of truth and falsehood existing as a static contradiction, the loop cut separates them into distinct temporal states. It allows the mesh to represent the idea that, well, at time A, the statement evaluates as true, which means at time B, it evaluates as false.
It slices the contradiction into a timeline.
Yes. And finally, a smooth operation integrates all these modifications.
And the result is astounding. The entropy of the mesh drops from a chaotic 0.80 all the way down to a rock-solid 0.01. The uncertainty is practically gone, but the AI didn't magically decide the statement was just true or just false.
No, the geometry physically collapsed into the shape of a truth oscillator.
A truth oscillator?
It defined the problem not as a single word, but as a structure with a set mathematical frequency. The final mesh is literally the shape of a repeating cycle.
That is just brilliant. It solved the unsolvable paradox by physically mapping its shape. If we connect this to the bigger picture, geometric optimization allows the system to clearly see the structural mechanics of a paradox.
Right. It defines the geometry of the contradiction rather than experiencing a fatal crash because it isn't forced to spit out a binary word.
It completely transcends the limitations of sequential text. We've seen how geometric transformations map out meaning and solve paradoxes, but you know, why reinvent AI this way?
Speed. It all comes down to this staggering potential for speed. The authors refer to this threshold as singularity velocity.
Because even the fastest sequential AI is fundamentally constrained by the act of token generation. Even if the internal logic is flawless, it still has to print the answer out one word part at a time. It's a physical bottleneck.
Right. But because manifold CCT updates the coordinates of every single vertex in parallel without ever pausing to type out a token, the scale of computation expands exponentially.
The paper runs the math on a relatively small mesh, right? Just 124 vertices operating in 128 dimensions.
Yes. And by shifting that single shape one time, the system is processing over 131,000 variables simultaneously.
Over 131,000 variables.
In a single step, every vertex moves in coordination with every other vertex across all dimensions. And the authors project what happens when this geometric processing is moved off of traditional silicon chips and run on a photonic substrate.
Right, hardware that relies on light rather than electricity to process information.
Yes. The numbers they project for photonic hardware are almost hard to comprehend. The paper states that this entire complex deformation process, taking the raw clay, applying the tools, solving the paradox, and collapsing the final shape, would take 10 to the power of negative 15 seconds.
10 to the negative 15. That is a femtosecond.
A femtosecond. To put that into perspective, one femtosecond is to 1 second, what 1 second is to about 31 million years.
Oh my God.
It operates on a timescale that shatters any conventional metric for artificial intelligence. The processing is so highly parallelized that it reaches a complex conclusion, essentially instantaneously.
The clay snaps into the perfect sculpture in a millionth of a billionth of a second. It doesn't just think faster. The fundamental architecture of the thought means there is almost zero delay between encountering a problem and mapping its complete multidimensional solution.
It frames computation as an instant, holistic materialization of an idea rather than a laborious construction of sentences.
Which brings me to a final, really provocative thought I want to leave you with today. We spent this entire deep dive exploring how this theoretical AI can tackle complex, twisting logic problems by physically bending and rotating concepts in a high-dimensional space.
Completely bypassing the need for linear, step-by-step reasoning.
Exactly. So think for a moment about your own human intuition. Consider those sudden gut feelings or those massive aha moments you experience. You don't usually arrive at those epiphanies by internally narrating a logical argument to yourself word by word.
Right. You don't talk it out.
You are just struggling with a problem. And then suddenly you grasp the entire complex idea all at once. The answer just arrives fully formed. If cutting-edge computational theory is proving that the most efficient way to process complex truths is through rapid geometric shape deformations rather than linear language, what if your brain is doing the exact same thing?
That is a fascinating question.
It makes you wonder if those flashes of sudden insight are actually your own conceptual networks instantly snapping into perfect geometric alignment. Maybe. Underneath the words we use to explain ourselves, we've always been sculptors.